Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You listeners and Rise to Win for our youth members. And my name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. And today's 30-minute program is dedicated to raising awareness to the issues and to solutions that are supporting our youth. And as many of you know, my purpose with Rise to Win for our youth is to draw a line in the sand, really dividing those who are part of the problem and part of the solution for youth. Really where we are standing today, it is about us who are of this generation to really make a difference for our youth based on what it is that we see, the issues that are at hand, and also the solutions. There are solutions. And today's guest is a lady who has dedicated her life to really making a difference in the lives of youth. And what she brings along today is not only her experience from what she has gathered, but really also a vision to make a difference, a sustainable difference in the lives of young people, particularly those youth who are involved with the juvenile justice system. So in order to just begin, I'd like to introduce you to Yvonne Rose Green. She is my guest today. She has, I'll give you a little bit of a background with her work. She has a doctoral degree in child and youth studies. She is a licensed mental health and substance abuse counselor. She has her own company, Helping Hands LLC. She works out of Riviera Beach, Florida, here in West Palm Beach. And I would like to read a bit of her bio because it really stems from fact. Her passion is for girls in the system, meaning the juvenile justice system. She worked at a state maximum risk facility, and through that work, she was able to really see those areas of services that were needed. Particularly, she saw that no vocational skills and training for girls was given that would prepare them going outside. So, for an example, some girls were in custody for more than 3 years, and they never developed any skills that allowed them to become employable. So that obviously is something that really is at hand with what's going on with our kids not being prepared to deal with today's challenging environment. Now, what she says from her personal words is, I identify with juveniles in the sense that I was raised in a single-parent home where my mother was undereducated and had too many children. Thank God I had mentors, which I found in the church, that allowed me to develop a sense of self-worth. I am the only one of my mother's 8 children that has a college education and only one of 2 with a high school education. Verbal, physical, and sexual abuse was embedded in my family dynamics. We were extremely poor by any standard, but my thirst for knowledge and doing what is right allowed me to escape. Many of our juveniles face these and worse circumstances, including having parents that are involved with the law, have history of substance abuse and mental health issues. They were not taught work ethics, so a pattern of learned helplessness became a way of life for them. And Yvonne and I do share a passion for making a difference and going forward, and she has actually been working for the past 3 years looking for visionaries to partner with her in a venture to bring about a program that will enable girls and to have technical skills that will allow them to become employable while reducing the risk of involvement in antisocial activities. So I believe that we do have a partnership here. And at this time, I'd like to welcome Yvonne. Thank you on Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure having you. And I know that when we met a couple of weeks ago, I saw directly just how you are. This is your passion and this is your mission. So can you share with us really where you're at now with what it is that you want to create?
I wouldn't say I'm any closer to having a program for girls, whether it's residential or a day treatment, in the sense that resources to do it is not available to me. I'm still trying. I'm still exploring grants and contracts. I know I have one of the things is when you have a vision, people will always come into your life. And I, when I was in college, I worked for some people and cleaning their houses, and we have become very close. And he has shared in the vision that he will help to finance a place for me if I find the place. Of course, you know, it's not going to be that he's going to do it for free. It would make it easier for me. So with that, I can say that's something I have going for me. I just need some more help, one, in inquiring, acquiring a property. I've been looking. There are times when I think I might have found something, but when we, on closer examination, we see that they area wasn't good or something, or too much infrastructure we would have to do. And so at the present, I'm thinking of probably being able to erect my own building, because if I'm thinking of vocational skills, I'm thinking of cosmetology, culinary arts, and whatever office skills. So I would have to have a building that is set up so that these things can be in there. If you know what I'm saying, for cosmetology, we'd need shampoos, basins, and hair dryers, and all of those. So I would have to be able to give an architect or whoever, a contractor, the plan of what I want done, so that we could have a place that is viable, that will produce the success that I am anticipating that we can have.
And you know, it's great because you come with, I mean, many years of experience working within the juvenile justice system, working with the adolescent, the substance abuse, the mental health, the emotional. And, you know, right now, like where you're at is where you are ready to carry that vision forward for what's needed. But
right.
Also, you know, you have so much. I mean, we've discussed situations where you've seen the resources that these kids lack directly,
right,
coming,
right,
from their parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you share some of that? Because it's, you know, it's really, you know, let's look at the real core here, which is what you, you know, what you bring, the fact that you have, you know, you're not afraid to speak up and say, look, this is what's taking place and this is what's going on. You know, and I feel that a lot of people, you know, people are so afraid of saying really what needs to be said because they're afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of, you know, being let go. But when you really have a passion and a heart for making a difference, you know, you go and you've been doing that.
Yes.
Know, you've
well,
been,
that's
you've been
one
knocking.
Of the problems. If you are going to, as people would say, buck a system, you don't agree with the system that's there.
Welcome.
You have to put yourself in a position where you are qualified to provide something else. You know, a lot of people will talk, but are you qualified? What can you do? Do you have a solution? And that's what I did when I worked at the maximum risk facility, and I didn't like what I was seeing in terms of how the girls were being treated and the perception that people had of them. I went back to, I already had a master's degree, and I went back to the university and got a doctoral degree so that I would have the qualification to run such a program.
See, that's amazing because just, you know, reading your bio, the place, you know, you've done your own growth and you've overcome adversity and challenges, and you're a role model, a leader. And here it's like all of these things that you've already done are amazing in themselves, but here you are doing for others. You know, just in all of your growth happened because you want to have that foundation where you're able to be solid with the vision that you're carrying. And I commend you for that because I shared that intensity and that passion with you, and it's challenging. You know, it's
well,
challenging.
It's that part of psychology in Maslow hierarchy of need. It's when all of your needs are taken care of, you get to the point of self-actualization, and now you're looking to help other people. You see, if you don't have true altruism in this field, if you're not altruistic, meaning what you're saying you want to do is not truly what you want to do. This is not about money. My cousin, I have about four cousins that have doctoral degree, and while we were studying, one of them said to me, why are you in psychology? You don't make any money from that. And I said to her, if money is my motive, then I need to get out of it. It's a genuine interest because I have been helped. I have a desire to see others. My pride and joy is not how much money I have in the bank and what kind of car I drive, but when I'm on the street or in a store and a person say to me, hi, how are you? And I'm still trying to figure out who they are. And they said, you remember you were my counselor so here or something like that. That's the payback for me.
See, that's incredible.
That's what I want to see. Of all the girls I had when I was at that maximum risk facility, one of them is now in law school. And to me, that's one of the most wonderful things that come out of that facility. There were negative talks about that facility, but nobody ever talk about the ones that were successful. And this young lady was one that was successful. When I was there, one of them had a perfect score on the GED. But because we didn't have the infrastructure in place to have her move from there, when she left there, she was 20. She went back to the community where she came from and ended up being arrested as an adult, as bright as she was. Because one of the things we lack is independent living. That young lady should have been filtered into an independent facility where resources were made available to her so she could go on to college.
That is so precise. You know what? That's exactly what needs to take place, that bridge in order to go forward. And this is precisely what the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement is, highlighting these individual people and the resources that are available where we can all partner together and say, okay, this is what we can do. What do you have and what do you have and what's available and what can we do to serve these kids right here, right now? Because it is as much as if we give them a time thing that can support them right now, it will keep them from going down the wrong path. You know, or getting involved with the wrong person, or taking that, you know, getting into that car that's going to land them in a situation where they're going to end up being arrested again, and there they go. Now they're booked, and now they're treated, and now they create one more headache for themselves and one more obstacle to their life.
Right, right.
You know? Well, tell us.
All of our kids have some kind of abilities. You know, when I was at the facility again, and I talk about it all the time, there were girls that were very good with braiding hair and all of that. That, some of them, that was the only skill, and I don't want to say the only because I don't want to limit people, but they were good at it. So if they were taught cosmetology, I go to a beauty shop to get my hair done. The lady charged me $55. And one day I said to her, how many clients you had for the day? And she had 12. No,
wow.
She had 12 clients for the day at $55. She was making more money than I am. We need to stop this culture where we have our kids believe everybody has to go to college to be able to be successful. This was a young lady that had a daughter when she was a teenager, but she got into cosmetology and operating her own business. I don't know if you ever see the movie Barbershop, a beauty shop or something like that with Queen Latifah, where she was in charge of a salon. And that's what this young lady had, and she never touched college.
Well, and you know that's very evident what you just said. Today, in today's world, we can see that just having a college degree does not guarantee success.
Right.
Or having, you know, a master's, because if that were the case, then we wouldn't be having the economic downfall that we've had coming all the way from Wall Street, where these are people who are the brightest, who have, you know, undergone so much study, who have learned and, you know, from the best and networked with the best. All of a sudden, it's, you know, just because you have a certain type of education doesn't guarantee success. And what you just said, that point in, you know, the evidence of it takes action, and it's this lady, you know, she might have not had a college degree, but here she is running a business. She's running a profitable business. You know, she's doing what she loves to do. And it's not to say that everyone's going to do it, but like you said, every person, every one of us has some innate gifts And also we have the aptitude and the skill to learn if given the resources to support
right.
that.
So, you know what irritated me was a child that you would have a psychological report that say their intellectual functioning is, say, in the 70s, and yet we're trying to teach them earth science and those things. But the child technically is good with her hand. And this is a is and her, because it's not only among the girls. What I try to do with the kids now that are referred to me is try to steer them towards a vocational technical program. I had one young client some time ago, and he's a bright young fellow. And when he came in, I remember his grandmother crying and said, you know, trying to school him in the regular school don't work for him. He's a kid that liked to be doing things. And I remember he was on his way to his second program, and I made a suggestion to her, when you go in court, tell the judge what I say about getting him in a vocational program. And Judge Alvarez did that, and that boy ended up going to the program and succeeding in their scoring, almost had a perfect score on his GED again, because he was in the program learning auto mechanics. Why do we let kids believe that they have to go to college to be somebody? And they're frustrated. We have kids with severe learning disability, so learning the textbook thing not going to work for them. It's hands-on that's going to work. And we have to change the paradigm, the way we do things with kids these days.
It's, you know what, you just brought to mind, one of the things that I begin with when I talk to people about coaching, you know, it's you take a cross. And there's four areas, you know, so you just across, you divide it, and you see that we have an emotional side, a spiritual side, a mental side, and a physical side. Those are all components of who we are as people, and we need to be able to develop each area. And exactly what you said right now is being able to provide a child with the options and the resources where they will be able to thrive. You know, not just merely survive, because that's what's taking place with our kids. They're surviving, trying to just deal with the anxiety and the frustration that's
right.
being provided to them by the people closest to them, whether it's their parents or the peers or educators or even the, you know, the justice system itself.
Because they're all put together. Boy was severely mentally abused by a stepfather. And he never felt good about himself. He was bright. There was no telling. When I administer an aptitude test, you could see he was bright. But people don't understand. When you're being put down and being beaten down at home and you go in school, there is no desire to learn. Because I've been through that. I've been through the walking to school through my tears. And as bright as teachers say that I still couldn't perform because there was that anxiety there. But when he went and he made something and he fixed something and somebody complimented him and tell him how good he was at what he's doing, that incited more desire in him to try harder.
And you are so correct. And you know what? Another thing that, like, I just recently heard through somebody that you and I had met together, through Jay, Jay Bonner, from the chairman of the Faith and Community-Based Network, and also through the Juvenile Justice, he was talking about how there was this one child who was caught because he was stealing, and they found out that the reason why he was stealing was because he was homeless, living with his mom underneath some bridge somewhere, and he was smelling, so he couldn't go to school, and he was embarrassed to be wearing the same clothes, so he was basically trying to steal just to get himself, you know, some clothes so he can go to school. And you keep on hearing of situations like that with these kids who are now having to face adult decisions without the ability to fend for themselves or even provide the basic human needs of shelter, food, you know, and security, like you mentioned earlier, and you know, and these kids. And you have a lot of that evidence, because you've been telling me. Can you share some of that? Because that's the truth, where we have to realize that, guys, it's not about laying blame, but those of us who want to make a difference, let's put it together so that we can provide for them what it is within our resources and shape them forward, because what these kids really need, when I see it, is, you know what, start with love. And if we start with love, even if it's foreign love, even if it's love from strangers that don't have anything biologically to do with the child, the child is going to love it and welcome it.
Yeah,
They're going to welcome it.
That's what's important. You know, nothing that's said because you're not my biological parents, you can't love me and have interest in me. I know I am who I am today because of non-biological factors in my life. Yes, there is the biological factor because I believe that intelligence is genetic. So I have the raw material there. I didn't know what to do with it. And it was when these mentors came into my life that I was able to operationalize the raw material and make it into something. Now, you know, you talk about that little boy. I know a fellow, I think he's at the stockade now, and he was sent to me for substance abuse, and I have a video that I showed the kids, and at the end of the video, Milton Krea talks about the kid who stopped going to basketball practice because his friends were all laughing at his mother who was out on the street and crack. So he stopped playing basketball and began selling crack. Now, when the kid saw that video, he was crying at the end, and I said, "What's the matter?" He said, that there lady is me. That's what's happening with me. This kid was out on the road. He has a lot of drug possession charge, selling drugs to keep his mother off the street. And we have a lot of kids going out. You know, teachers in school talk about kids' behavior and all of this. Nobody knows what some of these kids are going through, why when they come to school they're so disruptive. You know, I had a kid once refer to me. The kid came without his mother, and I said, "Where is your mom?" He said, "Oh, she said she can't come," or something like that. I used to do DUI evaluation, and when I went to do my evaluation that day, there was the booking log there, and when I look at the log, there was his mother's name. She was arrested for the same charge he had, possession of cocaine. She was in the county, and he was too ashamed to tell me that his mother was locked up. You know, we have a pattern where crime becomes a family business.
And sometimes mothers will send their kids to go do. You mentioned a story of a mom that had actually sent out her kid to do, and you saw it. You actually, it was this program that you saw.
Yeah, you talk about having textbook. You know, I might have a master's degree and a doctoral degree. Textbook does not prepare you for reality. It doesn't. It's good, but you really find out what life is like when you start working with these people. 2 years ago, a young woman was sent to me by Department of Children. Well, she came to me through Department of Children and Family because her kids were taken away from me. And she explained to me, "I got hooked on drugs from I was 11 years old because my mom had me prostituting so she could buy drugs." And I remember that day hearing her story and wishing my mother was near so I could say thank you. Because with all the verbal and physical abuse, that's one thing my mother would not have done. She would never have done that. And approximately 2 weeks later, I was seeing a juvenile, and I was talking to her, and she angrily turned to me and asked the rhetorical question, "What do you want me to tell you? That my mom have me out there prostituting so she can get drugs?" These are things that kids not going to walk up to a teacher and tell. I sometimes work with kids for months before I know really what's going on with them.
Wow.
So there's more behind their crime. Girls who have been sexually abused over with the knowledge of their parents. Because this woman who was in her almost 40, her mother had her in the room with a John when she was 12 years old. These are not stories. These are real things that is happening out there with our kids.
And I hear that. You know what? That's, again, going back to, okay, we know the issues. And a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people don't. A lot of people, like you mentioned, you know, who are in the administrative and who are behind closed doors and who would never, ever have the opportunity or even want the opportunity to cross the tracks and go experience for themselves what really is taking place because it's too scary, because they're not equipped, because they rather turn away and look the other, you know, and not get involved. Because once you realize and you become aware, you're never the same. Because now you're, you know, now your conscience is playing up on you, saying, okay, what are you going to do about this? And a lot of people, you know, really look to say, well, let somebody else deal with it. Or, you know what, we can't help these people, or we can't make a difference. I completely go against that because I really feel that, yes, we can make a difference because a lot of these kids who are being born right now or these kids who are getting in trouble, they want a solution, but they don't have people around them showing them what other options they have.
Right.
You know, I'll give you a story. Last week I was at the juvenile detention center, and I had been there a week prior, and I went and I spoke to the boys, 12 to 18, and I basically said, listen, kids, you can come in here today and use this experience as a wake-up call, or you can ignore it and be very blasé about it and keep on walking the path that you're walking, which is only going to make your situation follow the same pattern. And eventually you're going to end up finding yourself in more and more trouble. So right here, right now, you can really decide where do you want to go and realize that it takes more than just a skill to change your life forward.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them some information.
Some of us are really resilient. And, you know, the saying, life gives you a lemon, you make lemonade. I was doing a group with boys a few months ago. And I asked them the question, if I give you a lemon, what would you do with it? I had about 12 to 13 boys in the group, and only two out of the 13 say they would make lemonade.
And what did the other say?
You know, some of us are real resilient and don't care what life threw at us, we're going to bounce back. But some need the coaching. They will bounce back, but they need the coaching. And so those of us who have the skills, and we find something in those kids to appeal to. I believe that in every one of us, there is a measure of good. It's just to find somebody who can tap into that resource in us.
See, I will tell you, when I was sitting out there, actually, when I went a week later, here he came out. I was speaking with his mom, by the way, who was a very young lady, and he came out, and he goes, Ma, that's the lady I told you about with the coaching. And immediately I asked him, I said, where are you right now? And he goes, I'm here at the juvenile detention center. I said, no, really? I'm asking you, where are you? Of course, that's more of an intellectual question. But then I said, you're free. I go, are you going to be back here? And he's like, no, I don't want to. And we started talking. And I said, you know what, you want to get involved with, you know, in some sports. And he said, as a matter of fact, I want to get into, you know, he also had ADHD and his mom had about four vials of, you know, of drugs right there. Of course, this is a kid who his nature is to just go out there and be energetic and be, you know, employed because that's how he's going to get a lot of this stuff out of him. But sedated, how can he be anything else than what he's, you know, he's there? So I was able to speak to him, and I'm actually going to follow up with his school, but it's exactly what you say. Well, we only have 1 minute to go, but I want to give you the opportunity to give out your number, your contact information, and anything that's, you know, that's needed.
Yeah, if you need to contact me, my phone number is 561-848-1307. I work with juveniles, but I also work with adults. I coordinate the substance abuse program at a Christian halfway house. So sex offending, both victims and offenders. I work with people with sexual abuse issues, substance abuse, and just mental health problems. My motto is to grant a helping hand to somebody who is having difficulties in finding their way through life.
Excellent, Yvonne. Well, I will tell you, just this morning, just about an hour ago, I got an email from the Juvenile Justice, who they are putting out a grant for exactly what you're talking about. So I'm going to be able to send this to you following this interview, and I look forward to working with you because you and I have been matched. So
I am so excited. Don't spare any time in sending me that email, because I'm already writing my proposal before you even get off the line.
Well, it's there, and it's due December 30th, so we're going to put this forward, and just stay tuned, and we'll definitely be going forward for these youth. So thank you again, Yvonne, and then I will see you again shortly.
Okay, take care. Thank you, Sandra.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth. So stay tuned next week as I will be bringing about the vision from youth themselves. This is Sandra Bueno signing out.